Good morning. My name is Stephen Schaub, and I'm the leader of the Fidgetal Revolution, as well as a master printer and principal at Indian Hill Image Works in Poway, Vermont. The title of this audio blog is Great Expectations, Thoughts on Choosing the Right Paper for Your Prints. I've been requested by several people to do an audio blog on sort of my philosophy on different types of papers, thoughts on handling different types of papers and alternative medias, and why you might choose one over another for the reproduction of your artwork or the artwork of one of your clients. So let's get into this. First off, I'm a big believer in experimenting. I'm a big believer in always trying new media. And to that, I have an extensive selection of papers at Indian Hill Image Works. I think currently we have over 150 papers in stock, which is kind of insane, but I like to have options. And out of all those 150 papers, whenever I get a new paper, the first thing I do is I take a little 3x5 sample of it, and I cut it off, and I stick it into a little 4x5 plastic sleeve that I would have used for a negative, and I write notes on it. Like, okay, this is this paper by this company. I got it on this date. This is the roll number. And then I'll leave room for notes as I test the material as to what I think it might be good for and certain notes like on how the surface characteristics change of ink and stuff like that. And this allows me to create what I refer to as a paper catalog. So I can open up my little binder, and I've got pages upon pages upon pages of different paper samples. Whenever I'm looking at an artwork or thinking about one of my own artworks that I'm going to print out or doing a job for a client, it allows me to have a visual reference. And based on certain keywords that I might hear a client say, based on, you know, the color, the texture, the weight, the type of reproduction that they want, I can sort of narrow through this paper catalog and get it down to a handful of selections that make it much easier, and it makes it a much more thoughtful and meaningful selection of the final paper that you've decided to print on. So this is something that I highly encourage everybody to do. It really makes a big difference, and it makes it very easy for you to sort of explore the possibilities of different media, as opposed to what most people do, which is the paper that just happens to be loaded in the machine is what they print on. Okay, so moving on. Let's talk about the different kinds of papers. Well, there's really, in my opinion, four categories. There's gloss, and in gloss I'm going to also include satin surface, so gloss and satin. There's a matte surface. There's canvas, and in canvas there's different types of canvas. There's matte, there's gloss, and there's luster, but we're just going to refer to it as canvas. And then there's alternative media, and alternative media would be handmade, uncoated, and coated paper, but it's more of, you know, an alternative substrate as opposed to something that is, you know, made like in a Western paper mill. So let's kind of go through these. Why would you ever want to print on a glossy stock? This is the first one we'll talk about. Well, gloss and the luster and a lot of these papers, and these are, you know, the papers by Innova, the Crane Silver Rag, Platinum Rag by Premier, papers such as that. These papers have the highest Dmaxes arguably possible in digital printing. Secondly, they produce the sharpest dot. They're able to reproduce the finest level of details within a final print. So if you are looking for, or if a client is looking for, a paper that you know can give them the best Emax out the door, the biggest color gamut, you know, the absolute finest level of detail, this is the direction you're going to go. The only disadvantage to these papers, up until at least recently, was that a lot of them didn't feel great. They felt kind of flimsy and plasticky. You know, they didn't have that great weight and feel of, like, you know, a 300 gram cotton stock or something like that. However, with the introduction of the new Berita papers and some of the newer papers that are out there, you know, you can get a lot of these glossy stocks that have a wonderful exhibition feel. They, you know, feel like traditional silver papers. And so these are a really viable choice for great printing. As a person who's made an awful lot of profiles, I've made thousands of profiles, and I can tell you, glossy papers and papers that have a really hard glossy or luster surface are also the easiest papers to create a profile for. The hardest papers to make a profile for, to be very honest, are on matte surface paper. The glossy papers are a cakewalk to absolutely profile because the dot and the transitions and everything are so exactly reproduced, it's very easy to dial those papers in. So if you're looking for a paper and you know you're sort of budgeting your time as to how long it's going to take to make a good profile for, if it happens to be a gloss paper, it shouldn't be too terribly bad to make a profile for. There are a lot of people, though, who do not like the look and surface, though, of glossy papers. Either it's too shiny or it doesn't feel like the ink is in the paper. One way to get around that, though, is to do a top coat or to varnish the surface with, like, you know, I mean, Krylon makes a UV matte, it's archival spray that you can spray on the surface of a glossy print just to knock it down a little bit if you want. If you think about it, you get all the benefits still of the sharp dot, of the great transitions. It will rob your black and your color of a little bit of its depth, obviously, because it's going to be scattering light instead of reflecting light as it bounces off the surface of the print. But yet, it's a nice alternative to be able to have one paper that maybe reproduces two ways. So that's sort of the glossy and why you might want to choose glossy media. The next one we'll talk about is matte surface paper. Matte surface paper is what most of us have been printing on for the last, you know, 5 or 10 years. The glossy papers, at least the high-quality glossy papers, are really sort of the new kids on the block. The matte paper is what most people who print digitally have been using. You know, and these are papers by, you know, once again, Inova, Crane, Hanamuel, Moab, you know, all sorts of people make the matte surface papers. And, you know, to be honest, in the last year or so, an awful lot of them have started looking an awful lot alike. There's been a real, and the same thing has happened to the glossy papers, by the way. There's a real homogenization of these papers. And so I don't say that you need to have 50 different matte surface papers and 50 different glossy papers, because to be honest, probably two or three of them look the same as all the rest. So pick out two or three and just go from it from there. In the matte surface papers, you've got choices of, you know, totally smooth surface, a little bit of texture, a little bit warmer, a little bit whiter. You know, so you kind of dial in sort of the personal preference. These papers, generally speaking, you know, 190 to well over 400 GSM. You know, they've got a really nice feel. Some are pulp, some are cotton, some are a blend. And it's, you know, it's a nice feeling paper. The ink seems to feel more in the paper than on the glossy media. Some of these papers, some of the new microporous versions of them, have the ability to reproduce a very sharp dot, the ability to produce very smooth tonality with a very good D-max. But you notice I use the word good in all those. None of those are ever going to equal the quality of the gloss. It's just not. Or of a satin. So once again, if you're looking for over-the-top sharpness tonality, you've got to go to a gloss or satin type media, one of the new microporous ones. Otherwise, hey, absolutely, print on some of the matte surface. And the matte surface papers are very nice. Once again, you can also coat one of the matte surface papers with a top coat spray and give it a little bit of a luster sheen if you would like. So you can kind of kick it up a little tiny bit, and that will enhance the black and everything. And there's no reason not to do that. You know, once again, if you can make one paper look two different ways, why not? The matte surface papers, though, as I said, will never have the D-max of the glossy papers. They have a much more of the ink sort of in the paper sort of quality. And, you know, that's a particular look that you or a client may like, and it's, once again, one of the type of things that I write on my paper catalog sample sheets when I start describing the way the ink looks on a particular piece of paper. The next category that we're going to talk about is canvas. Up until very recently, I have not been a big fan of canvas. I thought it looked a little over the top. It was way too much trying to look like a painting, and I have steered clear of it. In the last year, I've had a lot of requests to print on canvas, so I decided that, you know, well, we should probably support it at the studios. And I looked at some very fine canvases by Crane and by Breathing Color and by BF, and to be honest, they're all extremely good canvases. However, I settled on one that I felt was exceptional, and I'm going to make a recommendation here, which I will not do in the other areas, but I'm going to make a recommendation here of a canvas by a company called Black Diamond, or the name of the company is IJ Technologies. The canvas is called Black Diamond, and they make a gloss and they make a satin. I personally happen to be in love with the satin. What's nice about canvas, especially the satin surface by Black Diamond, is that you get all the benefits of a glossy paper. With a satin surface, you get incredible DMAX. You get a huge gamut volume. You get extremely fine detail and great dot reproduction. This surface is an extremely smooth surface for a canvas. It's actually arguably the smoothest one I've seen. It's still canvas, but at more than a foot away or 10 inches away, you can't see the weave. It becomes a panel, which is really great. Canvas for me is the media that I use when a client comes to me and says, I want to print really big. I want to print really big, and I'm on a budget. Canvas is a more expensive media than most of these other papers. This is a very heavyweight canvas. It's 455 GSM, so it's not thin by any means. And it is a microporous surface, so it dries instantly. The thing about the canvas is that you don't have to put it under glass, and you don't have to put a frame around it. You can buy a really nice stretcher. And I use a company, I'm going to give them a plug, in Canada called Upper Canada Stretchers. And I feel personally they make the best stretchers I've ever seen. They're a little more expensive than the ones you get at your local art supply store. But when you actually get one, you'll see why. They're beautiful, they're well made, you know, finger joints, you know, keyed, hardwood keyed corners, everything that a good canvas should be. And usually you get them in about a week. So I personally love them as a company. So, you know, canvas, if somebody comes to me and says, geez, you know, I want to print 40 by 40, I want to print 40 by 70 or 50 by 70, I'll automatically suggest a canvas material. Primarily because in the end, if you add everything up, the cost of doing a paper print that size and then either matting it, dry mounting, or somehow getting it to a backing board and sticking it in a frame and putting a piece of glass over or plexi or acrylite or whatever, and compare that to the cost of printing on the canvas, sealing it, and stretching it on a really professional grade stretcher, the canvas ends up being around 40% less expensive in the final print. And additionally, there's no glass to break, it's stable, it looks great, it's super lightweight to ship. So canvas is a really wonderful alternative for anybody who's printing on a large scale. Personally, I don't print canvas anything smaller than 11 by 14 inches. And it's really a little bit larger than that. And the reason why is that despite how fine a grain the texture is on the surface of the canvas, there is still the texture of the canvas, and I don't want to see it. So I like to have there be a certain size, a certain point at which I'll print on it scale-wise. So that's one of the biggest reasons. So if you're looking for all the qualities of the gloss media and yet you want to print big, canvas, and cost is an issue, canvas is a wonderful alternative. The fourth category is the alternative substrate. This gets into handmade papers, papers that you coat yourself, metal, all sorts of just alternative medias. What I'll say about alternative medias right off the bat is that in an ideal world, you can make your own profiles. All the other categories, there are generally speaking profiles available by the different manufacturers. These are canned profiles. I've told you before, I refer to them as trash can profiles, but they're better than no profile. Not much, but they're better than no profile. So at least it would give you a starting point. The, maybe a little shot of espresso here, just a second. Okay, so the alternative media. I do an awful lot of printing on Japanese papers, papers from Bhutan, Nepal, South America, and all over the world. And I'm a big fan of beautiful, beautiful, beautiful handmade stock. And yet, handmade stock provides an awful lot of unique issues that you need to be aware of. One, you absolutely need to be able to control the dot, the amount of ink, and how all of this is going to be absorbed into the paper. You got to remember, there's no coating on this paper, so you've got to be able to, in the printing software and in the creation of the ICC or a linearization, be able to control the way that ink is being printed on the paper. So that's one of the first key considerations with regards to the handmade papers. Another one is, what paper are you printing on? It's very important to be aware that different paper structures, whether that be the type of material is, whether it's a pulp, Mitsumata, Gampi, whatever the core material that the paper is made out of, each one of those has a different ability to absorb ink. And, you know, sort of narrowing into what is the best base material will go a long ways in determining what papers you'd like to print on. Another option is Hiromi Paper International in California is a source where I buy an awful lot of my handmade papers from. She's a wonderful, wonderful person to work with, and she's got, I think, one of the best selections of alternative medias anywhere, and very knowledgeable too as well if you get her on the phone. And so, you know, she also imports papers from Awagami and other mills who will take Japanese-style papers and coat them with a very simple inkjet coating. The advantage to this, especially for somebody who does not have the ability to, say, perhaps make their own profile or their own linearization, is you can get a paper that someone that's going to sort of split the difference. It'll print okay on a sort of generic profile, and you'll actually get a print that has fairly accurate color and a fairly good dynamic range without having to get into tweaking something custom for the paper, which is going to be required if you are printing on a totally uncoated sheet. You need to be able to control those variables. So it's very important to I'm going to stand up here. It's very important to realize that uncoated papers provide an open an awful lot of challenges for a printer with regards to controlling the ink, the dot, and the way it's going to get printed. And the thinner the paper, the more issues, and also the thicker the paper. So I don't recommend anybody really going into the realm of alternative media unless you're really willing to invest some time and also cost. A lot of these alternative handmade sheets are significantly, and I'm going to use the word significantly, more expensive than you may be used to spending with regards to some of the more traditional inkjet media. However, you know, as I said, there are papers made that have a primitive coating. Nieto makes some amazing ones that Hiromi carries that, you know, have the look and feel of washi. They are washi, like, you know, they're Kozo. And yet, at the same time, they've got a great little coating, so it'll at least get you out the door. Another option within this area is using a product called InkAid. InkAid is basically an inkjet coating that you paint onto the surface or spray onto the surface of the paper. There's a lot that goes into this, and there's a lot, it's all about technique, to be honest. How you put the material down, what type of coating you're trying to go for. You're going for a thicker coat or a thinner coat, and a lot of that is determined by the particular paper that you have decided to coat. But once again, InkAid would be a wonderful alternative. They got a website, just go to inkaid.com. They've got it's a wonderful alternative for somebody who wants to print on, say, you know, a paper by Arsh or some wonderful Mitsumata or something like that, but you don't have the ability of creating your own ICC or your own linearization. You know, hey, get yourself a little InkAid, coat the material, and you can probably find a generic profile that'll get you close, because that inkjet receptive coating that you're putting on the paper is elevating that that handmade sheet to an area that's more close to what your other inkjet papers are. So these are just some thoughts on sort of the four different types of printing papers and alternative media as possible, and why you might want to use one over the other. My biggest recommendation that I hope that you take from this is, one, experimentation. That's the biggest one. Definitely experiment. You should always be trying new papers and new medias. Don't get lazy and sit on your butt and, you know, and say, oh, I've got my three papers that I like and I'm never going to try anything else. That to me is boring. Two, definitely start building a paper catalog. Start, you know, collecting those little samples of all the papers that you're interested in, you know, and take little tiny notes and write it down. And that way, you know, you're just expanding your possibilities as an artist or as a print shop. These are just my thoughts. I'd love to hear yours. Have a great day.